For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast is fueled by The Man Shake. I lost 30 kilos in 10 months using this meal replacement shake. If you want to support the show and Max in my weight loss journey, or to even start your own, click the link in the description below. The Man Shake. Real blokes, real results.
For the Players.
I'm Ryan Benson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. For 40 years of playing PlayStation and 6 plus years in the games and media combined, I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, please come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of our links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can get in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support... Yes, if you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're on the podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you are on the YouTubes, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. And if you want to support us financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculturist, while it's our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop. We can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. So it's Friday, for one.
It is Friday.
So with Max going away this week, we're recording early. I'm drinking because my week's been fucked. But how are you, Max?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm obviously, as you mentioned, I'm jet setting off to Queensland tomorrow to spend some time with my family and some time with Ali's family. So much needed holiday is going to be great. And, you know, because of this... We had some scheduling issues. I believe you've got a wedding to go to on Saturday.
Yeah, I've got a wedding that was tomorrow an issue. When we normally record, so I'll be off.
Because I messaged you earlier in the week, and I'm like, hey, have you got a replacement? You know, I'm still hanging around Friday, so I'll still do the news doc for you and all that stuff. You know, I'll still participate even though I'm not here. And you're just like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's just record Friday. I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Yep, sure. No worries. Let's do it.
Yeah, why the fuck not, right? And the idea where you're like, let's do, you know, like, yeah, you know, For the Players After Dark. I'm like, I can get around that. Yeah, we have a few bevs. I'm like, I can get around that. So that's where I'm at right now. Right now, I'm just going to have a few drinks and talk PlayStation. That's kind of the plan right now. So how are things?
Why not?
Yeah, so how's the week been?
That's been fine.
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, a bit been busy at work now that things have kind of settled with the pandemic in our area.
Mm-hmm.
My work is back to running at 75% capacity, so I'm a little busier than I normally am, but that's fine. It's good. It's keeping me busy, keeping me on my toes. My kid's doing this weird thing where she's now... not napping until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but will only nap for half an hour, and that's her only sleep for the day. So she's just constantly cranky and in a foul mood because she needs more sleep than what she wants to get. But other than that, you know, things are good. Can't complain. Haven't really played any PlayStation this week, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, I guess.
Yes, I like to, in terms of myself, my week has been chaos at work. It's been an interesting week. So I'm very excited for it to be the weekend. As I said, I've got a wedding. It is a wedding of one of our regular viewers, Blair. He is off getting married. So he and I used to work together at an old workplace, and he is getting married to someone that I also used to work with. So it's awesome. I get to go and see these people from my old job that I haven't seen in the better part of 2 and a bit years. So that'll be nice. Get to show them how fucking thin I am now, which is one thing I'm quite excited for. Like, hey, look how good I look, you fuckers. They're fine. I'm excited to see them. Actually, speaking of thin, though, let's jump into this, then we'll jump into the games and whatnot. So, as you would have heard at the start of the show, Max and I, we are both on weight loss journeys. I lost over 30 kilos last year using a product called the Man Shake. It is a weight loss meal replacement shake. And Max has started this year Max, how's it going this week? Because last week you were sick. This week you're not sick.
Yeah, so back into it. My weekly weigh-in was a little bit disappointing. For me personally, I'm quite harsh on myself these days. I still lost weight, but not as much as I wanted. I lost just under a kilo. It's fine.
That's fine. Fucking fantastic.
It's fine. After being sick for a week, it was fine. So, but my wife and I, just because my wife's doing it with me, she's on the lady shake. Mm. We just had this discussion of, should we pack our bags and take it up with us, or should we just buy another bag when we get up there? Because I don't think I have enough to last me the week.
Oh no!
Like maybe I'll just buy it. So for now, we're just gonna play it by ear. We might just buy a bag when we get up there. So
well, it's an extra bag weight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not an issue. I've got 7 kilos worth of luggage that I'm not going to use. So
well, that's a good way to look at it. That's a good way to look at it, I guess. But still, every bit, a little bit. So where does that put you now as a collective total?
I think I'm still, after being sick and plateauing, I think I'm still just under 10 kilos.
That's all right.
So week 10, I think I'm sitting at like 9.2 lost.
Fuck yeah.
So not too bad.
Yeah. I actually went up a little bit, just the littlest bit. But I, once again, the problem that I'm going to have now is as I continue to do more gym, I cannot verify whether it is weight gain or muscle gain. Mm. And that it is playing with my head a little bit, admittedly.
Yeah.
But like I'm still fitting in all my pants the exact same way. Like when I say a little bit, I mean like half a kilo.
Yeah.
800 grams, something like that. And then it's kind of flexing in and out. Like I'm just like, so yeah, like I start the week and it's up a little bit and then it kind of trickles its way back down. Just depends, you know, what's going on. But yeah, so I'm not bummed about it. So I've had a pretty good week at the gym. Lots of running, lots of weightlifting. I lifted a yacht. Well, not, see, I think I talked about it last week, how there's an app that I use that does accumulative totals. This week it's been a yacht and a bus. So I did a yacht with pulling, mm-hmm. a helicopter with pushing, and a bus with my legs. So it's like 15,000 kilos with a bus and then 7 and 8 or something right about there.
That's not bad.
I don't know. It was pretty cool. I'm pretty stoked on it. Leg day killed me for like 3 days, which was bullshit. So seeing as I'm actually going to do, I know everyone's like, don't avoid leg day. But if I leg day, it actually prevents me from running, which I'm enjoying more. So I'm going to minimalize my leg day and just run more. I think that should do the same thing. Within reason. My legs have always been my buffest part of my body. But if you want to join, if you want to support us on our weight loss journey, or maybe even start your own, there is a link in the description below. You too can be powered by Manshake, just like Max and I are. For those on the, in the, it is in the link in the audio and the video version, but the link is bit.ly/FTPManshake. As you can see, Max is getting him sweats on. He's getting excited. Oh,
it is disgusting in this room with all the lights going, 3 monitors going, my computer's like right up my leg, and I'm stupidly wearing pants like a moron.
Crazy, crazy person. But anyway, Max, as you said, like in terms of games that we've been playing, have you been playing any games this week?
Yeah, I've been playing Bravely Default 2 on the Switch. It's like the only game I've been playing. Yeah. Like, if I'm not playing that, I'm kind of playing Zombies, but nothing's really new in Zombies, so I'm sure everyone's sick of hearing me talk about it. Zombies is still great. I'm still enjoying it. But the majority of my gameplay this week has been Bravely Default 2,
nice.
Which is on Nintendo Switch. JRPG, I spoke about it a little bit last week.
And you also talked about it because you guest appeared on a podcast this week. You guest appeared on News to Reviews.
Yes, that is correct. I had a great time with the guys over at News to Reviews. I think I went on a like close to a 40-minute spiel on Bravely Default 2. The game is really good. Last week, I kind of hit a brick wall against one of the bosses, so I went back to the starting area, did a lot of grinding, spent maybe 4 or 5 hours just grinding all my characters out. Went back, absolutely destroyed that boss. Didn't even break a sweat. It was ridiculous. 5 minutes later, another boss fight. It one-shot my entire party. Okay, cool, wonderful. So it's not just what I've realized is it's not just about levels in this game. It is also dependent on the classes that you put or the jobs that you put on your party members, because mm-hmm. some jobs are just not going to be useful for the boss that you're fighting. So once I changed those around, it wasn't that bad. So I'm now 30 hours deep into the game, and I just hit chapter 2.
Nice.
So that's going to be my plane entertainment tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, at least you bought it for the plane ride, and then yeah, you actually finally
I specifically bought it to play on the plane to Queensland 3 weeks ago, and now that I'm actually going, I'll get to play it on the plane. Assuming my kid doesn't lose her mind while we're on the plane.
Fingers crossed, anyway. Yeah, I myself am playing a bit more of Story of Seasons. I talked about that last week, and it is a Nintendo game, so probably it is on the Switch, so I'm not going to blabber on too much about it here. One thing I did do, though, I did boot up the PS5 for one evening, and I spent that evening playing PGA Tour 2K21.
I noticed you were playing that the other night.
Yeah, I was going through sort of my PS4 games. I was like, I need something, something I can check out on and just play it and I think about it. So I was going through and I was like, oh yeah, fucking Two Point Hospital. So I re-downloaded that. I was like, oh shit, yeah, that. And, oh cool. Oh yeah, PGA, dope. Downloaded that. I'm like, yeah, I'll play some golf. So I remade my character because last time I played was probably a month or so after launch, because I played it pretty hard in that launch window. So I had to rebuild my character, because I've lost, obviously, a lot of weight since that character as well. So he looks even more like me now, which is nice. Yeah, and I just did a bunch of the tour mode. And that game is still fantastic. Like, it's still a very, very fantastic golf game.
Yeah, they did really well with it. I really enjoyed my time.
So good. And like it's simple, but it's complicated, and you can when I wanted to, I was like, flick. I didn't put a lot of thought into it. But then there were some holes. I'm like, wonder if I can wrap it around that tree for no reason. So if I go and then back on, you know, just because I can. And yeah, that's the best part about it. It allowed me to be as intricate as I wanted to, or as casual as I wanted to. So I also downloaded Everybody's Golf as well. I'm like, I'm going to play one of these golf games. And then I got drawn to PGA, so it's like I uninstalled Everybody's Golf.
So that's despite the fact that we are on a PlayStation show, we're going to check out that Mario Golf when it comes out?
Probably.
Have you got golf fever?
I wouldn't have golf fever, but I'm open to it. Like, I think golf games are very good casual, relaxed games.
Yeah.
Apart from when you get on the green and don't get in the hole. That part is when you can get frustrated, but... Yeah, no, I really enjoy golf games just for their pure.
Do you channel you're in a happy? You're like, are you too good for your home?
No, I just get mad. Not like specifically mad. I just get like, especially when like, you know.
And then you get progressively worse, and you just hit it further and further off the green every time you're trying to putt.
Yeah, but it's also
which
weird.
Which in turn makes you angrier and angrier.
There's like specific tours where I have a garbage run, and then the next tour I'm like 12 under par.
It's the weather.
It could be part of it too, I guess. Anyway, that's enough of what we've been playing. Let's get in a section called Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. But before we do any of that, Max, there is one piece of massive, massive news locally. It's not entirely PlayStation related, but it's still exciting shit. After being cancelled because of a global pandemic, PAX Australia is returning in 2021 so far. It is set for the first weekend of October. That is Friday the 6th to Sunday the 8th of October. Of course, we will do our very best to be there. It all comes down to tickets and people and numbers. But we'll endeavor to be there once again because I need it personally. I need to go.
I'm just glad they didn't schedule it on my wedding anniversary like they did the year that I went. that was really hard to try and convince my wife to let me go. She's like, it's our first wedding anniversary. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. There's going to be way more in the future.
Ah, nice play. Well, because like today, as day of recording, is my wedding anniversary. Like, so my wife and I have been married 5 years today.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm sure she wouldn't say it that way, but that's cool.
Round of applause.
Yeah. She's like, fuck, okay. It, longer than I expected. You know, so that's the trick, dude. I got married, and then we bought a house together, and then we had a kid. Like, she can't run away from me. Joke's on her. Because she got the rough end of the deal completely, and I'm like just living the sweet life. You know? House, wife, son. Like, dope wife, sick house, great kid. She's like, what the fuck is this? Who are you? kind of bullshit is this? But no, thank you very much, man. I joke and I give my wife a lot of shit, and but no, she's obviously fantastic. And
I see, that's why you have a really nice co-host that takes you out on dates during the day while you're at work.
That's fine. That's true. Well, because that's the thing. Like, you've known my wife for like actual decades.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's all pretty
too long, some might say.
Too long. But are you excited for PAX?
Yeah, I am. It'll be a good opportunity because obviously, last year would have been my first PAX going as a podcaster, going as someone who talks about the space, and missing out of it last year kind of sucks. So it'll be nice to hopefully meet a lot of the people that we deal with.
Mm.
Can finally put a face to a name.
Yeah, it'd be because like I love it for two reasons. I love schmoozing, getting sort of, you know, seeing all these people that I send emails to, that, you know, we talk in emails only for a year to see them. I love catching up with people that I only see once a year, whether it be, you know, other podcasters, where we all go for drinks, you know, on the Saturday night or the Friday night, all the nights. You know, like there's, for the last 5 years, well, I guess this technically would be my sixth. Well, last year could have been my sixth. I don't remember. Either way, PAX is always the highlight of my year. It is one of my favorite things to do. It is my week. It is my weekend away. It's the time that I just get to completely throw myself into the content space, and I love it. I love going there. I love playing the games. I love meeting the people. I love just the whole weekend is nothing but happiness for me. And especially last year with my big goal of being pretty for PAX. That was my whole endeavor, was to go on this weight loss journey, to have an impressive, you know, fucking Biggest Loser reveal at PAX. And that was fucking taken away from me, COVID, you ass. So pretty for PAX 2 is a go. And hopefully you can join me too, Max. We both be pretty for PAX.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I just want to see, all my friends again. I just want to have that weekend away, because, admittedly, it's one of those things I didn't realize like how important it is to me from like a mental health perspective, and not having that last year was a big kick in the dick. So if I can go this year. Because once again, it all comes down to restrictions and numbers and all these different things, all these different factors. Even though it won't be the same PAX as it was the year before, because who knows what international travel is going to be like by then, I still guarantee you I will walk in those doors and I will see that PAX sign and I will probably get a little teary. Because it's that moment. It means more than just some event. I can't quite articulate what the event, what the weekend means to me, but it's going to be something cool. I'm really looking forward to it. But I also have this mild feeling that it could all go sour at any point.
I mean, with the vaccination rollout, hopefully by October, we're kind of Gucci.
Yeah, but it's going to take like a year to at least successfully roll it out to everyone that can get it.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, as long as a good majority of it, we can start that herd immunity nonsense and get things, we can get the ball rolling.
Mm.
And like, you know, they generally hold it at the convention center in Melbourne. It's pretty big. It won't be too hard to socially distance in there as long as everyone does the right thing. Like, it's getting to the point now, because we're both in Victoria, so after our 5-day lockdown that we had a couple of weeks ago, we've kind of gotten a bit lax again, and it's to the point where I said it to my wife today when I went out, I feel like the crazy person again for still wearing my mask when no one else is.
Mm.
It's like this isn't over yet, guys. Like,
look, and that's one of my biggest concerns, is because even though like PAX is fucking amazing and I'm incredibly excited, I was like really worried, like, you know, there's tens of thousands of people there in one location. And, you know, gamers don't have the best history of being the most hygienic individuals. You know what I mean? And then how do you then go on top of that? How do you maintain lines while keeping distances? How do you ensure that everything remains sanitized and clean? You know, there's a lot of things to take into account here that just that even a vaccine can only do so much, right? But just because you have the vaccine doesn't mean you can't carry it. It just means that you're not likely to get it and have it. You're not going to get infected. Some other prick will. You know what I mean? And that's a big part. Like, you know, because how do they control all international, if they have international, how do they account for all national? Like, is this a circumstance where, unlike previous years, your badge is connected to your name? Like, it prints on your, it's one of those big square, and it says, Ryan Betson, PAX. Can you only attend one day? Can you attend? Can you still attend all 3 days?
No, it says Ryan Betson, and then underneath it'll say, it'll have vaccination status. And then you can kind of do it. There'll be different colored badges for those who have been vaccinated.
Well, thanks for our work and support services, so I should get one very soon. Apparently my wife gets one real soon.
Yeah, I'm sure she would. I unfortunately have to wait for like 3.5 million people to get it before me.
See, it's weird that my wife's getting it before I do. Like, I work in literal community services. I'm exposed to people all the time. And my wife works from home for a university. Well, she just works for the hospital, technically, so that's probably why.
Yeah, she works for Bowen Health, doesn't she?
Yeah.
For the hospital, yeah.
Yeah, so like for her, it's like, probably just gets it. But
well, see, my wife has a compromised immune system and she still has to wait.
Yeah.
But when she gets hers, I can get mine because we live together.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons to be fearful, but yeah. I won't let it completely diminish my hope.
Are you gonna hug so many people?
See, that's the problem. I'm gonna want to hug so many people,
and it's gonna be really, really hard for you. So it's gonna be fine for me because I'll never have met these people yet. I'd be like, ah, oh, yeah, cool.
We'll hey, do man, awkward handshake, thing. And I'm like, ah. Yeah, that's very true. I will probably want to hug a lot of people. And yeah,
cause I mean, as long as you don't lick everyone, you should be sweet.
Shit, changes.
Just walk around with a spray bottle of Glen 20 and use it as deodorant.
Completely changes all my plans. But no, like there is like that, like the logistics of that is going to be insane in order to achieve those things. Now, obviously, they'll have the advantage because every ticket sold is literally a digital tracker. So they will be able to have the maximum capacity of one person for every 2 square meters. Well, that's what the rules are currently. Then that's fantastic. So that means they can potentially double the amount of people that are going to come in there safely, but that building does still have a maximum number of individuals. And as it stands right now, it's 1,000. It's not enough. Because there's normally more than 1,000 workers and staff at an event. So a lot has to change between now and October.
But obviously, if they've got a max, obviously that'll change between now and October. But they won't need as many staff if there's not as many populace to...
Yeah, it's a good point. There's a lot to take into account. Be excited, everyone, myself included, but also be incredibly hesitant and wary.
Just temper that excitement a little bit. Don't overhype it so much that you cyberpunk yourself.
Speaking of tempered excitement. Oh, you're not bouncing off that one?
No, because I was thinking, okay, so we might leave it. I think we leave this story for the end, because I think this is going to bring about the biggest discussion.
Okay, no worries.
So
okay.
I'm actually going to jump in to Naughty Dog currently advertising for a new role, and that position is that of an economy designer. So the blurb gives you a good idea of what kind of tasks the candidate will be responsible for. Quote, "We're looking for a passionate multiplayer economy designer who can help us create avenues for self-expression for our players, ensure robust longevity to our games, and give our players great rewards to strive for."
Can you make
the job just the job description continues that recruitments will be required to, quote, "design and tune game economy and progression and collaborate extensively with the live operations team to optimize economy and respond to player needs." It's all rather vanilla stuff, but does this mean that we're finally getting the Last of Us multiplayer standalone version that they've been speaking of? And two, is this going to be one of those long-form live service multiplayer games if they're bringing in an economist?
Well, I have a feeling by them literally making a standalone multiplayer game, I think that does put them in a space where they have intentions for the long term.
And like, my third question is, does this mean it's going to be littered with fucking microtransactions?
I wouldn't say littered, but they're certainly going to be there, because even the factions for The Last of Us Remastered did also have microtransactions. And yes, as did Uncharted 4 multiplayer, right? So it's not a new thing for them to have those microtransactions in that space. However, I think this is a positive sign in terms of, as you said, having it be a standalone game, which means you're not going to need to connect it to Last of Us Part 2. That is a big plus. So that way it can exist in perpetuity, in the same way that what was Blackout then became Warzone, and now Warzone is its own thing entirely. However, having this being advertised right now, when is this coming? It's been 9 months since
to be fair, they could have the groundwork and the skeleton of this game done. Like, an economist is not going to work on the design structure of the levels or the gameplay. He's just going to come in and make sure that buy this and you can resell this, it's not going to break this. It depends on what kind of game it is. Like, are we getting a ramped up factions from Last of Us Part 1 where it's Team A versus Team B on maps? Or are we getting some kind of survival-esque style gameplay? Are we getting Last of Us Division? Are we getting, like, what are we getting? Because there's obviously an economy. Does that mean the loot that we find we can resell on a virtual marketplace? Like, what kind of economy is this game getting into?
It's just buying. Like, an economy is just buying as well. It doesn't have you buying and selling. But that would be cool. Well, I think you're spot on, though, because I think they can walk in and be like, hey, this is all the stuff that we have available for the economy. Can you make it work? Because the economist doesn't have to then be like, well, we need this, we need that, we need this,
like,
we need
that. Because, like, I guarantee there's economists working on World of Warcraft or any other MMO that has a marketplace-style system.
Oh, of course.
So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what Naughty Dog come up with.
Yeah, so I've thrown my ideas out there. What about you? Like, where do you think this is going on?
Honestly, I actually have no idea what they could be working on.
Well, obviously, this is obviously factions.
I think it's obviously factions for The Last of Us, and I honestly wouldn't be mad if they just did it how they did it in the first game, because I really enjoyed that style of gameplay. I found it really fun. It was nice that your faction kind of lived and died by how well you played throughout the game. Like, if you didn't collect enough scrap
supplies. For someone that is good at games, I just fucking killed everyone all the time. My faction,
But if they make more of like a cooperative multiplayer style thing, I'd dig that too. Like, they've got so many avenues open to them, and they've got, despite all the drama that they had upon the release with all their leaked story information and stuff, and gamers being thinking they're entitled to what they want as opposed to what the developer's vision was.
Mm.
I think they still have enough goodwill with their community that they can kind of go a little bit crazy with this. They've got a little bit of freedom to, you know, think outside of the box, so to speak.
I agree with
and
that.
I hope they do change it up a little bit, because like I said, although I wouldn't complain about it, it would be nice to see a change, especially if they are putting this with The Last of Us Part 2, or if it's a standalone thing, having that differentiate from the last factions from Last of Us Part 1, I think would be a good idea.
I can't argue against that. I'm pretty excited for it. I won't put a lot of thought into it because I guarantee I'll be garbage at it. But for many, I think it'll be quite exciting. Next week, Max, Square Enix, we'll be hosting a direct style online presentation announcing a new Life is Strange series.
Mm.
Not a game, series. This new game, however, will feature an entirely new cast, new powers, and a new story. But that's not all. As the new title will form only a part of the publisher's new online event, dubbed Square Enix Presents. The showcase will last roughly 40 minutes and play host to many more reveals. Other games that will be featured include Outriders, Marvel's Avengers, Balan Wonderworld, a mobile version of Just Cause, and new games from Square Enix Montreal. There will also be something for Tomb Raider's 25th anniversary.
So this is funny. I think early last week, thanks to the Microsoft Store, there was a leak showing a Tomb Raider 25th anniversary trilogy set of the Shadow, Fall, and Rise, I think, triple pack for the Tomb Raiders, which seems pretty cool. I like that. It's not new. Outriders makes sense with it releasing on the 1st of April.
Apparently, it's really good, too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I played a lot of the demo. I've got one character left to play
through. Yeah, because you smashed the shit out of it, eh?
I've been grinding for Legendary Gear. They just patched it to make it a little bit more... not as grindy. You can now get legendaries more often out of loot chests that are locked behind bosses. So they're kind of trying to incentivize you to grind for that gear, which is nice.
Because adding to, obviously, like, I don't know what Bell in Wonderland is. That doesn't matter. See, Square Enix is cool. They don't really tend to fit the things that I enjoy. They probably are a more overall presentation that would tailor to the likes of yourself. However, yep. What I've noticed here is these are a lot of their, quote, Western-y Square Enix games.
Yep.
Like, that's interesting. Obviously, and that's something that will very likely change my stance on the event, because for me, that's the thing that's interesting. Like, Tomb Raider, big plus. I don't know what a Balan Wonderworld is, but it looked cool. Outriders, I haven't played it. Apparently, it's fucking fantastic.
I'm curious as to why they're making a mobile version of Just Cause.
Just Cause. And Marvel's Avengers. Now, I know you put it later in the news, but we should talk about it right after this. So Marvel's Avengers, what does this mean? Are they, because we've got the PS5 version coming out this week or next week?
I think it drops on the 18th of March. I think
there you go. Drops on the 18th of March. So are we going to,
along with the Clint Barton?
Yeah, the Hawkeye hero, DLC, yeah. Which is cool. Yeah. Like, what does that mean? What else? Are they going to finally come back to the Black Panther DLC? Are they announcing what the next one's going to be? Are we finally seeing Spider-Man? Like, we've been promised this, you know, you get exclusive Spider-Man. Where is it? Don't worry about it. I mean, like, what is it there to be? Because right now, Marvel's Avengers needs the assistance.
Yeah.
We discussed last week how they've fucked up their XP and they're just making the game worse and worse and worse.
Well, it's. I'll bring it up now. So, they've kind of doubled down on their whole XP thing. So, in an official Reddit post made by the developer Crystal Dynamics, attempts to clarify its decision. So, the developer starts by setting up the scenario where you level up, or ding, as Crystal Dynamics puts it, 2 or 3 times per mission. Quote, "So what's the problem? This is great, you might say. The problem we are seeing and hearing was that you would immediately get more skill points than you had time to review, apply, and get used to. Obviously, with this being a live service game, there is no pausing. So if you're in your menus dicking around trying to look at your skills, you're getting killed."
Okay.
Cool. Sure. So...
But all the missions are break... Nope. And I'll come back to it.
Yep. Once you immediately get your skill points, you had no time to review, apply, and get used to them before embarking upon your next mission and gaining your next few levels. Hopefully, you can see the issue. So we smoothed out the higher level curves to make it so you are less likely to ding more than once or twice per mission at the high end. There is so much variability in how quick you can gain XP, level types, mission selections, etc. But the end result of our tuning was meant to add around 3 to 5 hours to reach the maximum level in total. So this means leveling at a steadier pace around every 2 to 4 missions at the upper end instead of every 1 to 2 missions. We consider this a way to achieve clear ding thresholds and more time to engage with and enjoy each skill as you get it. So adding an extra 3 hours to level up a character is not horrendous.
But the missions suck, Max.
But they are artificially extending their game, making you play longer to keep you involved in their ecosystem.
They don't care about you enjoying it. They just want you to play it. It's all about longevity and retention.
Yeah, no,
I agree. That's what it is. And it's it's absolutely disgusting because right now they're not addressing the issue. This demonstrates to me that they are focusing on the wrong parts of what's wrong with this game. Like, it's not, they're like, oh, the missions are fine. People want to play more of the missions. No, because they're fucking boring. And even then, like, a mission is, like, unless it's those ones that take 3 minutes for some reason, like, there's those wider open space ones. You have an encounter, you might get a ding, you do your level, and then you move to the next space. It's not as if it's a constant get your ass handed to you for a window of time. There is downtime in each mission. The logic checks out, but from practice, that's not what I experienced personally. What I experienced was a disappointing game. Like, but that once again, that's objective. That's subjective. That's anecdotal. But like, I don't, what they're saying here doesn't match with what actually is important. I discussed this last week. I don't get it.
Yeah, it ran into the problem that most live service games have when they launch, and that they either don't have the end content ready to go, so they underestimate their player base and how quickly they're going to get to that end game. So this used to be a really big problem with Destiny. Destiny used to drop a new season or drop a new expansion. They'd be like, hey, all the new content's here. The raid will be up in 4 weeks' time. We're going to give you 4 weeks to gear up and get ready for the raid. Do you know how long they give you now? A week.
Yep.
Because they know that their player base is craving that new content, and that they will push themselves and play heaps because that's what brings them back, the new content. So now they've got a week to level up and they're ready for that new content drop of that end game grind loop. But this just did not exist in Marvel's Avengers. And it's a real shame because they've got literally the property that is adored by almost everyone, and they've done such a disservice to it.
Right now, I am more fucking Marvel hyped than I have been in actual years.
If they come out next...
chomping at the bit right now to play that game.
If they come out next week and be like, Scarlet Witch is the next character.
That may win me back, just saying. But like, it's very unlikely. I have no positive expectations around what they're going to do. Unless they say, look, because right now there are two end bosses. Spoilers. It's MODOK and Taskmaster. And you fight Taskmaster at the start. So you fight him again later. Whoop-de-doo. But MODOK, cool. Two villains out of the entire Marvel comic game universe. The list of characters is endless. Two. So unless they announce new, quote, DLC and expansion, which, mind you, they said at the time there is no paid DLC, you know. Unless they announce there is a new area coming, there is a new villain, there is new story, no one will care. It's a problem. Speaking of a game that's surprising that people still care about because the game's like 1,000 years old, Overwatch. So Overwatch has received an update to help it take advantage of the current gen consoles. However, the PS5 is currently not part of that lineup. The community manager Josh Nash documents enhancements designed for the Xbox Series XS systems, but will be treated to three new modes in total. One outputs at 4K resolution with a 60 frames per second. The second improves image quality at the same frame rate. And the final option supports 120 frames per second on compatible TVs. As of right now, not one of these upgrades will be available to the PS5. Max, why? I hear you ask. But it's how Sony handles PS5 and PS4 versions of its games, apparently. Essentially, developer Blizzard would have to produce a native PS5 version in order for these enhancements to be taken advantage of, despite the fact you already own the hardware that can handle it. These upgrades are different from what the likes of Days Gone and Ghost of Tsushima have received since the console's launch. As such, Overwatch now finds itself in the same boat as Rocket League and Call of Duty Warzone. Both titles look and run much better on the Xbox Series X and S. At the time, Psyonix Senior Communications Manager Stephanie Thornton said, quote, enabling 120Hz on Xbox Series/X is a minor patch, but enabling it on PS5 requires a full native port due to how backwards compatibility is implemented on the console, and unfortunately wasn't possible due to our focus elsewhere. So right now, Max, it sounds as if because of the nature of that removal, you know, we don't have that smart delivery here on the PlayStation, and because of that, companies aren't willing to invest the right amount of money and or time into making a PS5 version. It's too hard, which I agree. This is way too hard, but
yeah, it seems like a big misstep. Yeah, it's a bizarre situation because, yeah, like they said, we've got the hardware that can handle it. Why isn't it just patchable? Why does it have to be a native port? Like, what? Yeah, it seems very bizarre, and I don't know how it works, so I can't really speak on it. But it seems like a misstep.
It is a little bit, but it's also this weird space, right? So PlayStation, they were playing the old model, right? New generation, brand new game. It's completely new. It's not the same game, right? That was their big selling point that they are moving towards. So they are doing the straight generational jump that they have done every time before. Now, Xbox have done that. You can play that one. You buy that one disc. It can play on any console that you have. Initially, I know I personally poo-pooed that idea. I'm like, well, then they're just gonna support it to the fucking lowest common denominator. And I'm kind of right, but also, I couldn't be more wrong. Because what we're seeing here is the exact positives of making it that way. It's the same way as making a PC version of a game that is completely scalable to whatever version of your PC that you are playing. And it's that weird line of, that's kind of the future.
Mm.
You know, it shows a chink in the armor of the PS5. Because there might just be games that simply run worse. I'm not saying people, like, these aren't games that people, pardon me, aren't going to not buy a PS5 over.
Yeah, these are definitely not
currently
console movers.
Currently, like, what's going to happen down the line? Now we're going to get to a tipping point where PS4 games will be separate, and like PS4 games will be a thing of the past, and everything will be a PS5 game. But as we have all these, you know, as games as a service became such a prevalent genre within the last like 5-ish, 10-ish years. A lot of these games are going to want to continue into this generation, and they're going to have to make that. They're going to have to make that cost analysis. Like, is it worth investing that level of dollary do to bring it up to that next gen console where we can do half the work over here and make next to no, like it, the costs, the sunken cost over here is way better. Like, with PS5, we have to build a fucking new version of the game, essentially.
And that's what I mean. Like, a lot of developers are doing that. Like, a lot of people did that. We're going to make a PlayStation 5 version. It's going to be a free upgrade. So, they're literally doing work for nothing if you already own that game.
Yeah. And, like, that kind of aligns with things that we've discussed before. They're like, why is everyone demanding it be a free upgrade? Because, you know, we are, like, you and I, as our understanding of how this would work, it's not as simple as a patch. Turns out it could be, hence why they're not charging anything. But in that same breath, that was our expectation of they're having to put work in, fucking do it. Turns out we were right, but not in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's a weird space. But it'll fix itself in time, I think. But it'll all come down to install base. Once they get a clear indicator of how many PS5s there are out there compared to how many Xboxes are out there, if it happens to swing in the way of PlayStation, suddenly they're more invested into putting that money in. And then they'll sink that cost. Right now, no one has a PS5. Very minimal people have a PS5 comparatively. Very minimal people have an Xbox Series S or X or S, depending on, once again, your numbers. Well, it's going to take, I think it's going to be at least another year or so before they start hearing about actual sales numbers. And if PS5 are winning, they'll make a change.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, talking about things that we're not going to see for years.
Ah, nice one.
Footage of an internal Elden Ring trailer leaked last week. It was the first we have seen of the title since its first showing at E3 2019. And according to one reliable insider, the official gameplay reveal of Elden Ring may have been pushed back due to this leak. Speaking on his own The Game Mess show, GamesBeat writer Jeff Grubb states that Bandai Namco's plan may have been pushed back as messaging has to be rearranged and the source of the leak in question must be discovered. Quote, "The reason I think the leak might have messed things up is I just think Bandai Namco are cracking down, figuring out how to adjust its messaging, making sure they fully understand how the leak happened, and then continue down the path towards officially announcing the game. Alternatively, they're still waiting for George R. R. Martin to finish the story."
Ha! Very possible.
Very possible.
Because he should be finishing the Game of Thrones books, but he is not, I presume, because he's working on this shit. Look, this is really more up your alley. I haven't checked out this stuff because I don't fucking care, and I will care once it's official. Once that official announcement comes out, then I'll look into it. Apparently, this looks like a hot garbage. It's apparently filmed through the same potato that all leaks are come through, and it's just littered in watermarks.
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, I think it was last week that I went on the rant of since starting to do this show and covering, you know, games media. I don't care. Don't show me until it's done. Like, I don't care. This trickle feed of nonsense and leaks used to excite me. It doesn't anymore. Because now I'm just like, well, it could change so much between the leaked footage versus what we saw. And then again, using a different example, and we've been talking about this a lot, the leak from what now is Hogwarts Legacy is almost the exact same thing we saw when it was officially announced. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't sometimes.
It's tough. It's
always shitty when developers and publishers lose their that initial spark of excitement on their own terms when they decide to release it. When someone leaks it and they kind of lose the control of the momentum that they want to put into place.
See, I agree. I think I think it takes a little bit of the oomph out of the pitch. But it's like, oh no, you can't market the game you wanted to. Oh, it is a weird balance, right? I'm not saying that, like, I think it's important for them to be able to market the way they want and, like, be able to get the message out that they want it to. And, like, are these leaks, you know, what's it looking for? Like,
but even fucking, for the consumer, it's, sorry, go.
So I mean, like, because you know how there's, like, here's the announce, like, you know, like Jason Schreier's broken this leak. I'm like, well, that was fucking not as breaking story as it should have been. I could have waited a week.
Yeah, but like the other thing is, it kind of also doesn't let the consumer see it in the best possible light. Like, even if they show this trailer again when they do eventually do their announcement, it's not going to be littered in watermarks. It's not going to be blurry, shaky cam. It's going to be this nice, hopefully, it's going to be this nice, crisp trailer. And we're going to see it the way it was intended to be seen. Not through a phone recording.
Like
a
wet shoebox. Like, I don't know how they... what? Like, where? What fucking... Like, are they intentionally trying to make it look like found footage? How do they consistently look like trash?
He's got like an iPhone 6 with Vaseline on the back of it covering...
It's like an iPhone 4. Like the first one they ever got video. And this motherfucker's trying to film shit on it. Like,
the TV's like an old CRT.
What are they doing? Leak shit properly, you morons. I don't know. Like, I don't get it. And that's one of the things, if people come out and be like, oh, it's the exact same as the leaked footage, then you shouldn't have looked at the leaked footage, you dumb idiot. Like, that's the whole point. Like, it's the same as leaked footage. Yeah, because you saw the footage that was meant to be now early. They're not going to make a whole bunch of new shit because you, moron, went and sorted out.
Were you one of the... Speaking of leaked footage, were you one of the lucky people that tried to watch Tom and Jerry and got the Schneider cut?
No, but one of my clients at work did, and he watched it for like half an hour, and then they cut it. And he's like, did you know Martian Manhunter's in the fucking movie? I'm like, get the fuck out! Martian Manhunter's in the Snyder cut? Well, I'm suddenly super invested in the Snyder cut. Next week's going to be amazing. I can't wait to watch the four hours of DC movie.
I'm not a DC guy. He's going off on a tangent. I'm not a DC guy. And nothing has turned me off more than knowing that this movie is like 4 fucking hours long.
That's true. Well, apparently, like, because they had an original trilogy planned, right? And then
I don't want a trilogy in one movie.
But Zack was like, well, I'm going to put all three trilogies of shit in one 4 hour long movie. I'm like, bold strategy, Cotton, let's see if it pays off for you. You know, but it's next up, Resident Evil 8. So thanks to the Twitter account of PlayStation Game Size, we may now know how big the install for Resident Evil 8 is for the PlayStation. PlayStation Game Size, which crawls Sony's service for patch data and preloads, has supposedly discovered that the Resident Evil 8 will be sitting at 27.325, that's right, 3 digits apparently, gigabytes, prior to any patches at least. So that would at least be the base version of the game.
So now, I left this out. Apparently it sits at just over 50 gig on the Xbox family. So it's like half the size.
See, this is what I wonder.
And is that because Microsoft is getting the 720p version, the 1080p version, the 1440p version, and the 4K version, and PlayStation is just getting 2?
Possible.
But because of Microsoft Smart Delivery, are they getting all the assets at once, and we're just getting the tailored, targeted things that we need?
That's a good way to look at it. I was going to be a dork about it and be like, oh, I bet it's because of that fucking sweet SSD.
Well, that was the other thing. It's supposed to be...
I think Xbox is using the SSD too, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But it is certainly possible. Like, this is exciting because...
Does that seem small to you? I can't remember
the install size. That seems small under regular games.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I can't remember what the install size is of like... 3 remastered or 2 remastered.
All right, let's have a look. Resident Evil... Nope, that's not how you spell evil. 2 remake size PS4. 21 gig for Resident Evil 3. Resident Evil 3 is... Hang on. Wait, no, my bad. The campaign's file size is reported to be 21.93 gig, which is about the same size as Resident Evil 2 Remake upon day one. So they look very similar. So about 20 gig approximately for the remakes. So they were like, at least Resident Evil 2 was a pretty full-fledged game. 3 obviously a lot smaller, but with a 5 gig extra... And like if it is in fact the native PS5 version is that they, you know, they said there's a PS5 version, but it's also coming to PS4. Like, do we get sucked into the PS5 marketing? Be like, it's the SSD, because how can they make it look as fantastic as it is and make a game that's, you know, 8-10-ish hours long, and unless they, oh, hang on, I may have answered my own question. So, Max. One of the reasons that...
Like, I love it when that happens.
Think Resident Evil 2, right? All you are really doing, it's kind of 3 locations, but there's a lot of backtracking.
Yeah.
So what if they're really channeling that Metroidvania-esque feel here for Resident Evil 8? Like, you're really only going through 3 locations, but you go through them at different times and you go through them through different things. Like, maybe that's the circumstance.
Yeah, true.
Because, well, I would personally be excited for that, because I love that Metroidvania aspect of 2.
Well, what I did is I pulled the file size for Resident Evil 7, because I feel that Resident Evil 8 will be more akin to what 7 was as opposed to a remastered version of an older game.
Yeah.
So, Resident Evil 7, at launch, sat at 24 gig.
Maybe Capcom are just really fucking good.
On on PlayStation 4. So, and this kind of makes sense.
That's actually quite remarkable.
Yeah. But again, Resident Evil 7 was in kind of one to two locations.
Well, there's like three locations. There is the manor.
Yeah.
There is the manor grounds. There is the boat. And that's and then the docks. Like, that's kind of it. Like, there's not really... it's really a small number of locations. Max, I think we may have tricked ourselves into being like, this seems bad. This also seems really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you come off playing Call of Duty and it's 200 gig install size and you're like, okay.
I can't believe, I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they're like, oh yeah, a PS4 Slim is insufficient to play Warzone and Black Ops Cold War.
Yeah, it is. It's ridiculous.
That's dumb.
All right, Ryan, let's talk about the big story of this week. The deal has finally gone through. Microsoft has welcomed ZeniMax to the family. In a post on Xbox Wire after welcoming the eight new studios, Phil Spencer speaks out about the details that is most important to us as PlayStation fans. Will future titles be exclusive to Xbox and PC? Unfortunately, the wording Spencer uses is somewhat vague on that. Quote, with the addition of Bethesda creative teams, gamers should know that Xbox consoles, PC, and Games Pass will be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players. The key word here is some. Obviously, Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo will still release on PlayStation 5 systems as timed exclusives, as the deals were in the work before Microsoft's acquisition of the studios. So we now may see, when we boot up Deathloop or Ghostwire Tokyo, a Microsoft Studios splash screen on our PlayStation.
I think we will. But once again, right now, like when by the day these come out, MLB The Show will be across there, so we'll see PlayStation Studios logos and Xbox games. So, like, I understand why that's like an enticing, like, ooh, but it's also like there's enough precedence now for that not to be an issue. Like Minecraft, you boot Minecraft up, you have to log into your Microsoft account. Like it's a touch is interesting, not as interesting anymore. Sorry, but. When they say some,
because we obviously spoke about this when the news first broke that Microsoft were going to acquire ZeniMax.
Yes,
and I think both of us were on the same page of with how Microsoft are marketing their Games Pass systems. They don't care how you play their games as long as they're still selling their Games Pass, and we didn't think that games would go exclusive because it was counter to what their messaging was at the time. Obviously, this has changed a bit now. I mean, as of tomorrow, 20 Bethesda games are dropping on Games Pass. Like, all the Fallout, all the Dooms, Dishonored, all of them are hitting. And it does make Games Pass seem like even better value than it already is. And what worries me is the sum. Does that mean that if the next Fallout is not going to be on a PlayStation now?
Well, that's the hurdle, because when they say some, like, that implies not all. And as it stands right now, with Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo, technically not all of the games. Like, does that mean anything from Ghostwire Tokyo on is not...
Well,
because, like, that, to me, like, by definition, that is some.
Well, my thinking is that things that have already... possibly, things that have already appeared on PlayStation consoles will still appear on PlayStation consoles. So they're not gonna exclusive the next Elder Scrolls or the next Fallout. Starlink might, because it's a new IP.
Starfield.
It doesn't have Starfield, not Starlink, sorry, my apologies. Starfield might, it's a new IP. It hasn't been on anything before. That's the game that they might put as an exclusive.
Well, actually, let me check something. Can you pull it up? Can you go pull up EB Games and see whether you can put a pre-order down for Starfield? Because I think that'll play a role. So, I agree with you in that sense. I think it would make sense for the likes of Fallout and Elder Scrolls to be the ones that they unify across all the platforms.
No, but you can't.
You can't. Well, there you go. So it's very possible that Starfield... What? And I know you can't pre-order Elder Scrolls 5 or 6 right now because it's so yonks away. Mm. And like that's a good reasonable way to look at it. I still think what I find interesting is because he made the... Phil Spencer also made the comment... that it will be available wherever Games Pass is.
Yeah.
Or not the exact quote, but so obviously PC, Xbox, that makes sense. And I love Android, that because that is as non-committal as you could say. It's like, is it coming to PlayStation? Oh, I didn't say no. I just said wherever the Games Pass is.
Hmm.
So does that mean one day Games Pass will come across? Who knows? It's possible. Like, does that mean if it goes to Switch, can I play Doom? Sorry, you can't play Doom on your Switch. Can I play fucking Indiana Jones game on the Switch? I don't know, maybe.
So that's another thing that's probably going to be exclusive because it hasn't been on a PlayStation system before.
Yeah, but like, as of right now, Phil Spencer hasn't specified whether that is a prerequisite. Like, it is vague. Now, look, I said I still believe what I in terms of what we said last time. From a business decision, it doesn't seem like the right idea. They spent $7.5 billion in acquiring ZeniMax. Now, as it stands right now, regardless of how many tens of millions of users have Game Pass is period not profitable. And now that like there's only so much, you know, you're talking about that cost analysis before, right? There's only so much sunken cost that something can deliver before it comes a detriment. Now, thankfully, Microsoft has deep enough pockets that this is not going to be an issue. And like they are seeing a return of revenue, right? Like there is money coming in monthly because of Games Pass. But how much money is that? Is the long-term plans for Game Pass long enough to pay just the investment on Bethesda? That is the question. Because if they can put it on Games Pass for $10 a month, or they sell it for $125 Australian on the PS5, you're going to make your revenue back three times as fast.
Well, I know this is an old article, but as of the February this year, Games Pass has 18 million subscribers.
Yeah, you say 18 million at $10.
$10 a month.
Yeah, like that is substantial. However, it is not $7.5 billion worth.
No, of course not. Of course not.
Like, so if, like a business should, they want to recoup that cost, like they're not going to suddenly gain 6 million different individuals that'll play, you know, the next Elder Scrolls. Now, granted, they certainly could because Elder Scrolls is a big enough name to, and like it sells, how many copies of Skyrim has there been purchased? Give Google.
Oh, so many.
It's in the tens of millions of dollars across multiple platforms, across multiple generations. So it's not really the best number to use. How many copies of Fallout 4? Actually, okay, how many copies of Fallout 4 have sold?
Okay, well, I'm going to do one at a time because I've already finished this one. But put it this way. Skyrim sold 20 million copies between its launch in 2011 and 2014.
Yeah, and that's across multiple platforms, right? So let's just split it down the middle. Like, yeah, they may gain about 10 million more Games Pass people. That's substantial. That's like, that's a third of what they've got right now. You know, they will have increased their Games Pass members by a third. That's mad. Once again, I don't see that as that thing. Now, is this me being relatively butthurt because I might not be able to play Bethesda games? Yeah, possibly. I'll wait and see, but I have a computer. I can play them at some point. You know what I mean? Like, it's that weird line. Would I rather play it on my PS5? Fuck yeah, I would. But because once again, that's so contradictory to their plans and their identity at the beginning of the generation. Now, both, PlayStation have changed their identity mid-generation. Xbox completely had changed their identity in the middle of the Xbox One generation. So it's not as if it can't pivot, but it's pivot before it even started. I've just rambled on for a while. What your turn?
No, I'm in the same boat. Like, my belief now is that, obviously, as they stated, there will be some exclusives. And to me, it doesn't make sense for them to alienate their fans who have already gotten used to playing some games on the system of their choice. So I think the new IPs will be exclusive. I think the sequels to games won't be. So I think our Elder Scrolls, our Fallouts, our Dooms, I think they're still coming. But the new stuff, I don't think will. Because they are a business and they do need to recoup the money that they spent acquiring these developers. And being able to use... And the one thing that Microsoft needs are exclusives, because they don't exist at the moment. Their one big exclusive is literally coming out a year after their new console launched.
Yeah. And like, I understand that's what, like, that for them, that would be their incentive. They don't have exclusives right now. What, like, it's probably important for them to do so. And like, this may be, but even then, these games aren't coming in the near future. Like, so no, why, like, what's the game here? Because right now, $7.5 billion or whatever is an overpayment for what Bethesda is worth, honestly. It's because it's because they likely weren't for sale. And they just whipped out a number and they're like, sure. Because everything has a price. Right? Yeah, I don't see them recouping their cost from Game Pass alone. Or from console sales.
No.
But, yeah, because like... Look, because I guarantee they will have the game available for purchase outside of Games Pass. I'm not that ignorant, right? There are people that may not have Games Pass. People that might not like the monthly subscription, but they'll pay $70 US, $120 Australian to buy it on Xbox or to buy it on PC, right? Mm. It's not just Games Pass users, but majority of them will probably pick it up on Games Pass because they already have it. So like, you won't see a boost in... You will see a boost in revenue, but it just comes down to like, if it was me, I would put my shit across everything. But, yeah. But also saying that, there is a lot of hypocrisy in that, because there are times where I'm like, exclusives rock. So it does sound like someone that's butthurt, that's not just happens to not be my exclusive. But then in that same breath, when they're like, oh, we're going to bring Days Gone to PC, I'm like, fuck yeah, everyone should play Days Gone. So I'm not like, even though, you know, we should be the most fanboy of fanboys, we're not.
No, but I think at the same point, like, if you're a fan of something, you want other people to enjoy it.
Big time.
And it's easier for other people to enjoy it if it's not restricted.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, let's talk some quick bits. Outer Worlds expansion Murder on Eridanos launches next week, and it seems to be a murder mystery expansion for Outer Worlds.
Hasn't this been out a while?
It comes out tomorrow. Not tomorrow. It comes out next week.
Has there already been an expansion for Outer Worlds?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Oh, this is the second one? Expansion. Oh, that makes stacks more sense. All right, cool.
A FIFA 21 employee is alleged to have sold the online trading cards, or the FUT cards, for thousands of euros. So basically, you know, the Ultimate Team?
Yep.
From what I saw, this guy has been messaging people saying, hey, give us your PlayStation ID, give us your Xbox gamer tag. Every Monday, I'll slide you in some cards. They'll have the high rarity players. You pay me €1,000 and I'll just keep pumping them to you once a week.
What a hustle.
So he's screwed when EA work out he's been doing that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge is a new side-scroller beat-em-up that's coming out soon.
People are pretty stoked on that, by the looks.
Yeah. Rust is finally coming to PlayStation 4 this year.
Woohoo, is it still relevant anymore?
And with the Bethesda showing that I think is happening mid-next week, we may be getting some more information on the new Doom Eternal DLC on the 15th of March.
So the Ancient Gods Part 2, I guess?
Yes.
Should be cool. I like that. What's about it all?
Yeah, that is it for quick bitties.
Here are the top 10 best-selling PS4 games for the week ending the 7th of March 2021. Number 10, Gran Turismo Sport. Number 9, UFC 4. Number 8, Tekken 7. Number 7, Little Nightmares 2, which I've come to learn in a press release today that it has sold over 1 million copies worldwide. Shout out to Little Nightmares 2. Game is dope. Number 6, FIFA 21. Number 5, Little Nightmares 1. Number four, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Number three, GTA 5. Number two, NBA 2K21. And somehow, jumping back to the number one spot, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War.
Games coming out this week. We have Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, launching on PlayStation 5 today.
Woo!
At time of recording, so that was Friday. We have Mundane coming to PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 on the 16th of March. And we have Stubbs the Zombie in Rebel Without a Pulse, March 16th, PS4.
Fucking stacks of choice.
Stacks
so
of
many
choice.
Good games this week, Max. I don't know how I can hold all this excitement in me, to be honest.
Yeah, thank God I'm gone on holidays for a week. I'm all right.
Man, I can't. It's too much. What's going on, man? Like, when's these games out, all right? I say that, but the second games start coming out, I'm like, what the fuck? Why is there so many games?
Yeah, it's always the way. There's always a lull period, and then all of a sudden, you've got more games than you can hold on to.
I expect that to be 100% the case.
That's a vicious cycle. I think a lot of stuff's coming in May, which is going to suck.
Yeah. May and then June, and then it's going to get progressively bum. Because it's like, it's all well and great that a bunch of games got delayed in order to allow for COVID, but they all got delayed the same window of time. So it's...
Well, like, I must admit, my big May game is Resi Evil.
Yeah. Ooh.
But my wife has told me that I'm not allowed to play it unless she's in the room, because she wants to experience it. So that's going to like put a massive hamper on my playtime for Resident Evil.
I'm sorry, Ali. We're going to have to review that shit. So how this works, man.
I might have to do what I did with Last of Us or finish it in a day. On Ali's day off, I'll just like
chill. I might have to come and... do I need to have a talking to? Do I need to give her a talking to? Like, look, Ali, this is how it works. Max needs to play it and it's not about you.
I mean, if you're game enough to try.
No, I'm not. Ali scares me. So that's not happening.
All right, Ryan. Big, I'm going to wrap this up because I feel like I'm going to melt in this chair. Yeah. It is disgusting.
So big thank you to everyone for joining us on this show. Apologies for not doing it on Twitch as per usual. However,
tell myself
Max is going interstate. I'm at a wedding right now. Well, not right now. When we record, getting all suited up and stuff. Right now, I'm a little buzzed. I'm enjoying it. Tonight's cool. I like tonight. Tonight's good fun. Anyways, thank you for joining us once again. Max, thank you as always.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we're this back in studio next week.
Yes, on a Sunday, because I don't get back till Saturday afternoon.
That's fair.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this PlayStation Conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, please come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter, all of our links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can get into the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review if you are on the podcast services, or if you're on the YouTubes, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support the show financially, you can. Patreon.com/thepopculture, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.